This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Philly's Backstage. I'm Tom Burgoyne, joined by Director of Fun and Games, John Brazier. How you doing, John?
I'm doing great because the sun is out, although the sun is out in Philadelphia, too. I'm down in Clearwater with my buddy Tom Burgoyne and with our guest coming up, Jim Salisbury. So life is good. We're about to embark on our first game, home game, of spring training.
Yeah, it's awesome. We're at BayCare Park. We're looking out at the beautiful field here, getting ready for opening day, the home opener. And we have Jim Salisbury with us. Jim, we know you're busy. It's been a big day. It's only opening day. You're nice enough to give us a few minutes here. But John and I are, you know, we're fired up like everybody else about the season and some of the moves the Phillies have been making. Now, what do you think of the offseason moves the Phillies have got going here?
To use your expression, why wouldn't you be fired up? It was funny. It was sort of the tale of two off seasons. November was busy. They got themselves a closer in Corey Knebel, and then the game just went dark for like 99 days. Exactly right, the 99 day war. But they settled that, and you know we were all hearing that. It's going to be a compressed spring training and a compressed free agent season, sort of like there was no hot stove this winter. So they're going to have a white hot stove for about 2 weeks in spring training, and it really has been white hot. And the Phillies have done an awful lot here as the game has resumed. You know, they addressed the bullpen, got some veteran guys down there in Juris Familia and Brad Hand, who are kind of looking for bounce-back seasons. Big, hard-throwing guys who, if they throw strikes, they're quite effective. If they don't, like any reliever, they're going to have problems. They brought back Odubel Herrera in center field. And then, of course, the two earthshakers adding to that offense, some real thunder in that offense now with Kyle Schwarber and the agreement with Nick Castellanos coming down late on Friday night.
Which is not official yet. It's Saturday. But
yeah, it's not official. It's you know, an agreement is different than signed deal. Yep. So they have an agreement with Nick Castellanos, so, you know, hey, look, they've really addressed that lineup. And they've been aggressive this winter. By my math, you know, over $202 million in free agent commitments this winter. You know, they have an 11-year postseason drought, and quite honestly, they're sort of putting their money where their mouth is, and they want to get rid of it. They want a 10-year postseason drought, I should say. They haven't been since 2011, so they want to get back there, and I think they have the lineup to do it. You know, defensively, they were not good last year, and I see that being a concern again this year. And you know, I like the starting pitching staff, but they really need Zach Wheeler up and running. He's been slow getting started here in spring training, but he's going to throw a bullpen on Sunday, so that is good news. But there's some excitement in the ballpark today, and it's not just the fact that it's the first game, Aaron Nola taking the mound. There's excitement because it looks like the Phillies really improved themselves. Like I mentioned, defense a concern, but this is a lineup that, you know, it looks like they're going to try to outslug some of their defensive weaknesses. I mean, you have Bryce Harper in right field coming off an MVP season, led the majors in OPS last year. You're going to add Castellanos. He was sixth in the majors in OPS last year. Schwarber just missed qualifying because he had that time off with the injury. He did not qualify for the OPS, whatever you call it, leaderboard. Had he qualified, he would have been ninth. So that's not too shabby. And you got Reese Hoskins, JT Realmuto, Gene Segura.
Which puts less pressure.
I like the lineup.
And that puts less pressure on guys like JT Realmuto and Hoskins, right? Because all of a sudden they're – Yeah, they don't have to be the crux of that lineup. And also gives you great lineup flexibility because Schwarber is known as a power hitter at 32 home runs, but he's a very selective hitter. He batted leadoff a lot, so he could be your leadoff hitter. Gives you another flexibility.
Totally. I think he is going to lead off on occasion, maybe even more than on occasion, maybe quite often against right-handed pitching. He can come up in the first inning, pop one out, put you on the board in the first inning, or get on base. Harper would have had a ton more RBIs last year if they weren't so bad in on-base percentage in the first and second hole. They were like the majors' worst, you know, combined on-base percentage in those holes. So they've addressed it. You know, guys are going to get on base, and there's going to be guys in the middle. And your point on especially Realmuto not feeling pressure to, you know, lead a pitching staff and produce offensively. He can just kind of be JT Realmuto and show off his really good, you know, all-around skill set. And I think that's going to be really good for the team and him in general.
And here, this is a little sneaky move the Phillies made, was Camargo, who came from the Braves, who actually had, like, I think 18, 19 home runs a couple years ago, and very good defensively, too. So you could see him as your third, either a defensive replacement, right? Or he could spell Alec Boehm if Alec Boehm's at third base, right? So it gives you a little more flexibility.
Yeah, he was sort of like the big addition on the bench. And it's funny, he spent most of last year in AAA because Atlanta was so deep. They couldn't find playing time for him. But he played pretty regularly with them a few years back. Had a really good year in AAA last year. And, they saw enough out of him that he gave him a guaranteed big league deal. So, yeah, he's going to be in play. You could see him every night in some role.
He's almost in that Torres plus.
Yeah.
Right?
Going to help that bench a lot. And, you know, I think they're still hoping that Alec Boehm really turns it around both offensively and defensively at third base. And I think that's important that they inject a young, homegrown player into this lineup. You can't just survive every year on the free agent market. But where they are right now, I think they had to go that route. But, you know, eventually the farm system needs to catch up and they need to get some prospects here. So they need Boehm to be an improved player this year at third base. But like you mentioned about, you know, when you make those additions, it takes pressure off guys. I think he could benefit from some of the additions they've made, not having to feel like, okay, I'm in my second or third year in the big leagues, I'm still learning what it's like up here, and I still need to be the guy. No, maybe he can go out and blend in, and that might help him as well.
And you mentioned the starting pitching, and Wheeler off to, you know, just slow getting out on the field, Rangers just showing up. Do you like any of the young arms that might have to be put into play here in the first month?
Well, I still consider Ranger a young arm.
Yeah.
So he's kind of like, it seems like all over baseball, people are looking, are really eager to see what he's going to bring. Because last year, you know, this is a kid in 2020. I mean, he's 26 years old. He's still young. In 2020, he spent a month in a hotel room here in Clearwater, locked in a hotel room in COVID protocol, having his meals delivered to him. So 2020 was a lost season. Last year, he comes to spring training, has a quad injury, is not ready to go, ends up at Lehigh at the alternate site, and then comes to the big leagues late. And, okay, let's see what we got out of Ranger Suarez. Long man does a great job. You know, they're piggybacking him with Spencer Howard, right, protecting the innings. And then closer's an issue. Hey, think you can close for us? Sure, I'll do a great job at closer. And then, they get Ian Kennedy as closer. You think you can go help our rotation? Sure, does a great job in 12 starts. So I'm very curious. You guys are curious. All over baseball, people are curious to see what this kid looks like. You know, he's always wanted to be a big league starter. He's going to come in here and get his chance to be a full-time big league starter. So he did so well last year. People are eager to see if he's sort of like that breakout candidate. If he wasn't a breakout player last year, which he probably was, just people are eager to see what he can do this year. So I consider him a young arm that, you know, I'm excited about.
And that rotation's somewhat solidified in the sense that you've got Wheeler, Nola, you've got Ranger Suarez, you've got Zach Eflin, and you got Kyle Gibson.
Kyle
so
Gibson.
Pretty much, unless there's injuries, those are your five going into the season.
Absolutely. And, they had hoped that would be their rotation after the trade deadline last year when they got Ian Kennedy. You're like, wow, you can see a five-man rotation coming together here. Maybe they're going to make a playoff run. And what happened was Eflin went down with that. You know, I thought it was a pretty serious knee injury, pretty serious patellar tendonitis. He had off-season surgery. He's back ahead of the game, ahead of schedule, probably going to be ready for the first week. And he has a lot of motivation. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, a lot of motivation that his legs feel good. So I think he could be a real plus. I mean, I always have looked at him and said, wow, there's an all-star in there somewhere. And maybe this is the year because he's healthy. I think Nola had a tough year last year, made a lot of mistakes over the plate. got roughed up with men on base, had trouble finishing innings, trouble with two outs. But then you look at the strikeouts per nine innings, and you're like, wow, the stuff is still there. If he could just bring back that famous kind of Aaron Nola pinpoint location, which just wasn't there last year, you got a good one. So, and Kyle Gibson, a real professional guy at the back end. You need the rotation to be healthy, taking the ball every fifth day, and you need that bullpen where you got some veterans who have, you know, issues with command, but they're power guys, you know, Coonrod, Alvarado. Yeah. Familiar.
A lot of stuff on that.
Brad Hand. They got, yeah. And
you can almost say we had an closer. And you can almost say we have an, you know, obviously we got Familiar, we got Hand, we got Knable, but you can almost say a new acquisition is also Sir Anthony.
No right? question.
Sir Anthony has been out for a couple of years, so if he comes back and is a Sir Anthony that he was before, that's a, you know, add that with Brogdon and Coonrod and Alvarado, and that's, you know, it's all of a sudden now you're
that's
starting.
That's a great X factor. If Sir Anthony could be. He's lost like 40 pounds. He looks really good. He looks athletic. He says his arm feels good. What an X factor he could be. Brogdon's got a power arm and a great changeup. I just think all that's missing there is confidence. You know, believing I belong here and believing that I can actually be a real good major league reliever, because I think all the physical ingredients are there. So, you know, there's just a lot of good ingredients. You just need now to stick, you know, put it all in the pot. It needs to come out tasting good, right?
Mm, yep.
And they need to put, and that what happens there is you need performance for it to taste good.
Well, we also have something new, and one of the reasons why Kyle Schwarber came to the Phillies, we have a new hitting coach as well, Kevin Long. Talk to you about Kevin Long and his potential impact.
Well, it could be huge. He has a little bit of a year history with Schwarber, and I think he was a real. He pushed for Schwarber to get here. Harper's got familiarity with him. He's just well-regarded around baseball. He's got a real good history with Joe Girardi. They were together in New York. I think he could make a difference. But ultimately, the players need to go out there and do it. Hopefully he makes a difference in Alec Boehm in approach and maybe building his confidence. So this team is – he's a crucial guy because this team's going to need to score runs maybe to – play over some defensive shortcomings, but it still comes down to, you know, 705. The guy's got to do it out there.
Now, as we stand March of 2022, and you're looking at the division, how do you think we stack up now with the Braves and the Mets and the Marlins, who always give us fits?
Marlins always give the Phillies fits. They always seem to have pitching, and they're a tough team. As I see it, I mean, you got the world champions in this division. I can't believe they lost Freddie Freeman. I still can't. I scratch my head.
Now they got someone back.
Oh, they got a great player back in Matt Olson, but I still can't believe they let Freddie Freeman get away. I mean, to me, he deserved to retire there and have his number on the wall with Chipper Jones and the rest of the guys. He was sort of like the baton handoff from Chipper Jones. He was the Mr. Brave. But, you know, they got their World Series. They let him walk. They have a very creative general manager who didn't let – you know, he didn't let much time pass. He went out and got Matt Olson, who's a heck of a player. And they got Acuna, who's going to be back, I think, you know, maybe in May. They got excellent young pitching. They got a third baseman, Austin Riley, who made a strong showing in the MVP voting.
Albies.
Albies is a terrific energy player, produces. And they got those young pitchers, as I mentioned. I'd still say they were the team to beat. And the Mets were, you know, they have an owner who is
Spend.
Yeah, he's very aggressive. He wants to win. He's got the wherewithal to do it, and he goes out and gets Max Scherzer, three-time Cy Young winner, pays him over $40 million per season. They really addressed a hole in center field with Starling Marte. They added that Mark Canha. You have Jacob DeGrom.
And they lose Syndergaard, right?
They lost Syndergaard, but if you have DeGrom healthy and Scherzer,
replacing Syndergaard, basically.
If you have those two guys healthy, and, you know, I think you have to point out if, right, because DeGrom's had elbow issues. Scherzer is getting up there. He had some tired arm last year late in the season. But, you know, if those guys are what they are, you're looking at Schilling and Johnson from the 0-1 World Series.
Yep.
I mean, that type of impact. And I think the Phillies with their offense and if everything comes together in their rotation, they have the ability to be right there. Now, I wouldn't pick them as my number one team in the division right yet, but I think they can go out there and show people, and if they put things together, they can certainly have a chance. They're certainly going to score some runs. They're certainly going to give those opposing pitching staffs reason to to think and not make mistakes over the plate.
Yeah, and one of the, another reason to be optimistic is that with the labor agreement went 99 days. Part of that is that the playoff teams got expanded.
Yes, so there'll be six teams per league. And I was looking at, like, the National League, and, boy, I look at, like, eight or nine teams I think have a shot at making the postseason. And then I'm looking at, like, you know, five or six that really, you know, it's kind of very hard for them to for me to see them get into the postseason. Yeah. So it's not a real, you know, six – there might be nine teams for six, you know, or eight teams really have a chance at six spots. So, I mean, it's no excuse time. With this payroll, they're at like $240 million now in projected payroll. That's over the luxury tax threshold.
Well, let's talk about...
So they have the MVP in right field, the runner-up on the Cy Young in the rotation.
Yep.
They have, you know...
Catcher.
You got a great catcher. You got Schwarber. You got Castellanos. It's really no excuse time.
Yeah, and that's why you bring in Dave Dombrowski for all the moves we just made, and it's winning... You know, and we didn't sacrifice any young guys. We didn't trade anybody that's our top prospects. So, but let's talk about, we mentioned the increase in playoff teams. Let's talk about what came out of that and what could come down the road. I know basically the, you know, there's a free agent draft pick compensation could be changing. You had, there's a pre-arbitration bonus pool now.
It's a draft lottery now. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, right?
Well, that's to prevent tanking.
Prevent tanking, but then you see the Cincinnati Reds sell off a bunch of players. And,
right.
There's still teams out there that look like they're not really giving it an effort, to me at least. But
you like the idea of the draft lottery, though, Jim?
Yeah, I think it makes it, I think it might maybe reduce the desire to tank, but there's still teams out there that are tanking. It's not going to, the thing I really like about this, I like that bonus pool for the young player.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, for sure.
Because I love the idea of a lot of times in free agency, with the way baseball structured, guys get paid later in their career, and it's just the nature of the beast. And a lot of times when you pay a guy late in your career, you're paying for past performance.
Right.
And you're not getting all that you were getting as a young player. And the player loses out as well. So I love the idea of, if I'm a young player and I go out there and really shine, I'm gonna get a big bonus for this. I think that's a great motivator, and I think it's a really good sound message. So I like that bonus pool. I thought the players did really well there. It's going to be a $50 million a year bonus pool split up among the top 100 players in that 0 to 3 year service class, with the MVP and the Cy Young getting, I think, $2.5 million bonuses. Really, I mean, that's pretty good stuff. So if you look at that over the life of the agreement, the five-year agreement, that's an extra $250 million that's going in the players' pockets. Not too shabby.
And you have the luxury tax going from $210 million to $230 million, and then it keeps increasing up to 2026. Minimum salary jumped. It went from $570,000 to $700,000. Again, jumps through 2026. We mentioned postseason. One of the things is the DH, and we mentioned that we might have defensive issues, but, you know, we're going to be able to rest JT, right? We can save his legs at catcher. We can DH, obviously, Schwarber. We can DH if Castellanos, if that goes through officially, then we can do that. Reese Hoskins. So there's a lot of – gives us a lot of flexibility. We're kind of built for that.
No question.
You know, and then I know things are going to be – looked at, you know, for 2023, right? Some of the changes could be the shift, right? They're gonna. It's not official, but they're talking about potentially having two people on both sides of second base, right?
Yep.
They're talking about a pitching clock.
Yep.
To speed up the game.
Yeah, and I think in conjunction with the pitch clock, you got to keep the hitters in the box.
Yep.
If you want to speed things up, there's so much analytics and science in the game these days that. I just think players do more thinking, and I think that slows down the game. It still should be a reaction game, but you know that's the the way the game has gone. You know, how many times do we see the pitcher and the catcher trying to get their signals straight?
Right.
Because there's a guy on second base, and there was a sign stealing controversy in Houston, and that was that came about because of technology. So I don't know how much more you can or how much you're going to speed up the game with some of these rules, but you know, I think the pitch clock and just getting the guys in the box should help. The shift, limiting it or even eliminating it, you know, could get us back to just putting a little more action on the field. I mean, it is a sinking feeling when you know, we know well here with
Ryan Howard.
Ryan Howard, seeing him hit one of those burners, those one hop with the bat, with the top spin and you know, 210 feet out to right field, and the second baseman throws him out. So, but you know, part of me wonders if, you know, part of me is old school enough to think that, you know, as much as sometimes I don't like the shift, I don't know if I like the fact that you can legislate where to put your players. I mean, like, I feel like part of me feels like, you know, you got nine defenders, you put them where you want to put them.
Right.
If you want to put them all on the outfield berm and then pay the price for it. But I wonder if a way to maybe address that, maybe add a cool piece of strategy to the game would be to say, okay, Joe Girardi, you got three shifts tonight. You know, Buck Showalter, you got three shifts tonight.
I like that.
When are you going to employ it, right?
I like that.
You give a wave up to the official score or the home plate umpire.
Salisbury for commission.
Yeah, I like that idea.
So nice wrinkle.
It adds a little bit of
Have
strategy.
You written that yet, or is that?
No, I haven't written that. Maybe
I should. Put that in an article. I like
but
that.
But, like, you got two shifts per night, right?
It's like,
so I'm going to save my shift for Bryce Harper in the bottom
like
of the
night. It's like when they throw the flag in football. When certain amount of replay reviews. So I like it.
I like it, too.
That might be, you know, a team like the Mets are going to save, you know, their shift for Bryce Harper.
Harper coming up in the eighth inning
in the eighth inning
or
something. That might be cool. But I'm just glad everything's back because, you know, it's a great game. And like you guys, I love the game. And it really it stunk to see it shut down for 90 and cost us the hot stove season. And then, you know, a bad feeling. So it's great to see everything back on the field, and
we're going to see a packed house here today for the home opener.
Be packed?
I think so.
Yeah, and I know we got to let you go too, Jim. But one last thing: we're celebrating the 75th year of Phillies in Clearwater, and I mean, what do you think? Is it the best spring training site in baseball, as far as you know?
I think it is for where it is and everything. It's just a great city. You know, I think how popular spring training has gotten, and I'm just always kind of. The story I always think of is the one Larry Schenck told me years ago is when they would train at Jack Russell Stadium, spring training in the 70s or even 60s or 70s wasn't the phenomenon that it is today with the tiki bar and all over Arizona and all over Florida, fans streaming down, and it's such an event and a vacation spot. He used to tell me that him and Wheels, I think, would go up on Clearwater Beach and give away tickets to spring breakers, and so maybe you could get a few fans in the ballpark. It's so different today.
Oh, yeah, people plan their vacation around it, and you know, and even though we got off to a late start this year, I'm sure you were too, and I'm sure you were. Hey, I'm coming down regardless, you know.
Yeah.
I'm coming down. You know, are the minor leaguers training over there? And once, obviously, the lockout ended, then – you know, my phone's blown up. I'm sure all your phones are blowing up.
Yep.
But it's great. And as you said, the longest tenured is Lakeland, Detroit, right? They've been there since 44 or so, or something like that.
They've got a
couple
years on.
Is this number two?
Yeah, we're second.
Vero Beach, I think, with the Dodgers was one until they moved out.
Right.
So that bumped us up to two.
Yeah, but it's a great, you'll see, you know, all the politicians and all the people that make this our relationship great with Clearwater. And I think as a fan, and you alluded to it, is that, you know, if you're going to come down, like, you know, we've traveled all over the different ballparks, Clearwater is the best. Like, if you're not, maybe not if you, I guess if you're a player, it's still great, right? You can stay on the beach. But if you're a fan, you got great restaurants, you have a great beach, great bars, you've got golf courses close by. Yeah, if you want to go in to see a concert in Tampa, you can go into Tampa. I mean, you can't beat it, right?
I remember Bill Giles told me a story. George Steinbrenner came here the first year it opened, 2004, looked around, and they were building their ballpark. Right. And he looked around, and he knew he was beaten. You know, he knew we had built a better, you know, better field and a better complex than he had, which was nice.
Well, he got his revenge in the 2009 World Series.
Yeah. Wait, we're going to end with that,
no,
Jim?
No,
you nuts? We're going to let you go, Jim. Thanks
for
giving us some
time. I'm sorry to be a downer, but...
I know, it's all right, man. Not today.
I was more or less kidding.
Well, I'm going to have one last question for you.
But this is, you know, opening day of spring training, Aaron Nola is on the mound. And
right on.
You got a thunderous lineup, so there's a lot of reasons to feel good.
Right on.
Sorry,
there
Tom.
It is.
And I'm going to give you one last question. Is you caught Billy Wagner in spring
you
training.
You always bring that up.
I love it. So who's... What guy would you be most excited to catch in this lineup?
In this,
Alvarado?
Alvarado, yeah.
Alvarado, yeah. I would need, like, you know.
Full
like,
hockey equipment?
No, I would need, you know, like those gladiators. Yeah. Like a metal suit of armor.
You never know where it's going to go.
Yeah.
But he, boy, I was watching his bullpen, man. He throws hard and he just kind of lets it move. And it's, it's when, it, you know, like I said, with the bullpen, him and Familia and,
Brad Hand
and
Sir Anthony, hopefully.
Sir Anthony, you got a lot of power down there if they can throw strikes.
Coonrod, obviously.
And even if you don't throw strikes, I've seen these hard throwers, you know, they'll walk a batter, they'll walk another one, all of a sudden they throw and they get a ground ball and they're out of it.
So. Or they're effectively wild, you know. Mitch, I always think of Mitch, you know, the ultimate.
All right, Jim, we'll let you get back to work. Thank you so much, as always, and go Phils.
You got it. Thanks,
Jim. Right.
Thanks for having me.
All right, that was Jim Salisbury. And Tom, always good to come down here again. This is my first day, really. And it's awesome. This, the ballpark's about to fill up. Is the Fanatic excited for the spring training?
He's fired up, John.
Is he? What does the Fanatic have planned? He missed St. Paddy's Day because we didn't have a game on St. Paddy's Day. But what does the Fanatic have planned today?
Well, he's got the politicians are going to be out there. So the Fanatic usually comes out pregame and busts that up. You know, you can only take so much of the politicians talking. But no, actually, there's we have some of the alumni are back too, John, representing the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. It's going to be a great pregame show. The Fanatic, of course, will be right in the middle of it. And then the Fanatic was actually showing a couple kids who work here the other day how to wrap a hot dog.
Oh, okay.
So it's opening day down here. The conditions are right. The hot dogs will be flying.
And I saw some broadcasters, some fairly new. Ruben's back, right? So Ruben's going to be doing TV like he did last year. Eric Kratz.
He's doing some radio.
And I know Kevin Stocker is going to be doing some radio. And I know Michael Bourne and Chad Durbin. So that's great to kind of see those guys. I've only seen Kratzy, but I think all those guys will be rotating through, and you'll hear him throughout the year. So it's going to be fun. We have our home opener on April 8th, which is going to be awesome. And we play the A's. We're working on Bobby Shantz.
Your boy.
I know. We're working on
have you? I mean, you've reached out to him, right?
Oh, yeah, but I just need to reconnect with him. So, okay. But fascinating. You know, Bobby Shantz obviously played for the A's for all those years.
Yep.
He finished up with the Phillies.
MVP as
a
pitcher.
He was the MVP, in 52, I think it was. Won a World Series with the Yankees. So, legend. I drove with him to a golf tournament, and I got to tell you, you know, we're jaded because we're always around baseball players and, you know, especially alumni. Talking to Bobby Shantz, just going back in history of who he faced, Mickey Mantle and all this, just was mind-blowing.
He's a real down-to-earth guy.
Oh, my
He's
God,
like the nicest guy in the world.
Best.
Yeah, we love Bobby Shantz.
Yeah, so, but all excited. And then the Fanatic's birthday real quick. What do we got for the Fanatic's birthday?
Yeah, that's coming up April 24th. Thank goodness we didn't have to change the schedule all around. So that is a go. And kids 14 and under are going to get T-shirt, and it's a circus theme, John. I think the Fanatic's going to get to be a ringmaster on his birthday.
It's a circus every day with the Fanatic.
It's always a circus, so it's so we're looking forward to that. It's going to be awesome.
Perfect. All right, you know what? I think we're doing something a little different. Normally, we give our quiz to our guest, but our guest, Jim Salisbury, was our previous guest at one point, and we already did give him
a quiz. We gave him a quiz.
And we also figured he's got to go back and work.
Yes.
So I've got four questions for you. You got four questions for me.
I do.
We don't know what the questions are. If we get a combined 6 out of 8, right?
What do we win?
We get another broadcast in a week or two.
What do we win?
All right, so I'm going to give you your questions first. All right. So
go ahead.
I stuck to what you are interested in, obviously, and I've known you for 29 years, so I know what you're into. So your first question is, what album were the Allman Brothers recording when Dwayne Allman died tragically in a motorcycle accident? Was it Idle
Eat a Peach?
It doesn't even need.
Don't need that one.
Doesn't even need. All right. One for one. What college has the. Now, your son is a big gymnastics.
That's right.
Performer, athlete.
At the University of Oklahoma.
Awesome. Like one of the top gymnastics.
Program. They got a great program, John. Yeah.
All right. So, speaking of program, this is on the women's side. What college has the most gymnastics women's titles with 10? Is it Stanford, Oklahoma, Georgia, or Michigan? 10 women's gymnastics titles.
I hate to not say Oklahoma, but I'm going to say Stanford.
Georgia.
How about that?
Yeah, how about that?
Huh.
All right. The year the Fanatic came to Philadelphia, obviously 1978.
Obviously, everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that. What song had the longest run at number one that year in 1978? The song that had the longest run at number one, was it Night Fever by the Bee Gees? Ooh. Was it You're the One That I Want by Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta? Was it Miss You by the Rolling Stones? Or was it MacArthur Park by Donna Summer? So was it Night Fever, You're the One That I Want, Miss You, or MacArthur Park? The longest run at number one in 1978.
It's either A or B. I think I'm going to go Night Fever.
Night Fever is correct. Yeah. Tom, you are 2 for 3.
That song was on. It was like every other song on Wi-Fi 92. I think they played Night Fever.
Oh, I love that movie. And there's a great documentary on the Beatles or on the Bee Gees. I think it's on Netflix somewhere.
Yeah, it's tremendous.
Great. All right, last question. Obviously, you're a big, besides a huge Phillies fan.
Go ahead.
You're a huge Sixers fan.
Yes, I am.
So I'm going to give you the most obscure Sixers trivia question that I know you're going to get.
Go ahead.
Who is the all-time 76ers leader in free throw attempts with 6,712? Is it Charles Barkley, Hal Greer, Allen Iverson, or Dolph Schayes? Charles Barkley, Hal Greer, Allen Iverson, or Dolph Schayes?
Wow. That's a great question.
Talk about obscure.
And I like your I like the choices because it's not Dolph Schayes, although he probably played a lot of games. I might have been even thinking Wilt. Like, they're probably climbing on Wilt every play, you know, hacking them.
Right.
Could it be Iverson or Barkley? I don't know. Hal Greer, I wouldn't know.
Your answer is?
I'll go with Iverson.
Dolph Schayes.
Was it Dolph Schayes?
Yes, it was Dolph Schayes. See, I thought you'd get that because it's obscure. All right, so you are 2 for 4.
I'm 2 for 4.
Which means
you got to go.
Do I need to go 4 for 4?
Yeah, you do. Maybe I got to make these a little easier.
All right.
John, you're a paddle ball player.
paddle tennis, yes.
What is the dimensions of a paddle tennis court?
Jeez.
Is it A, 50 by 20,
50 by 20,
B, 60 by 30, C, 55 by 25, or D, 70 by 40? 50 by 20, 60 by 30, 55 by 25, or 70 by 40?
I'm going to get this wrong. 55 by 25.
No.
What is it?
It's 50 by 20.
Oh, that's my first instinct.
We didn't win.
You threw me out. It's all right. Give me the other three.
All right, here we go. I'll save that one. You're a big Philadelphia guy.
Yeah.
How long is Broad Street?
You're killing me with these questions.
Well, think about it a little bit. Okay. All right. There is a, you know, is it A, 10.8 miles?
The Broad Street Run. Is that what you're saying?
Well,
okay.
If you think about all that, right. Let's see. Hold on. Got that? You didn't get that last one. Okay. Is it B, 12.4 miles? Is it C, 13.2?
Yeah.
Or is it D, 11.5? 10.8, 12.4, 13.2, or 11.5?
13.2.
No, it's 12.4. But yeah, the 10K,
yes.
Or it's a 10-mile run on Broad Street, so I guess you got a little on either end. But yeah, 12.4.
I can't vote for.
All right,
go ahead. Further embarrass me.
Yeah. You're a big Phillies fan from the 70s. Yes. What number did Randy Lurch wear?
You're killing me.
Randy Lurch, what number? Come on, think about it. Was it A, 38, B, 41, C, 39, or D, 47?
47.
47 is right. The Blade.
All right.
All right. There you go. Now you're on fire.
I'm on the books.
And then let's bring it back to the Fightin' Phils in 2021. Everybody knows Bryce Harper led the team in home runs with 35 of them. Rhys Hoskins was second with 27. Who tied Hoskins with 27 home runs?
Okay.
Or second on the team. Was it A, Gene Segura? Was it
Segura.
Was it...
His friends call him Segura.
Was it JT Realmuto, C, Andrew McCutcheon, or D, Odubel Herrera?
Huh.
Who had 27 dingers?
Say that again.
It's either Gene Segura, JT Realmuto, Andrew McCutcheon, or Odubel Herrera.
Wow.
Yeah, how about that?
That's a tough one. I want to say One more time. Sorry, run through.
Segura, yeah. Real Muto, McCutcheon,
Why am I thinking it's
Herrera.
Segura? But it can't be Segura. It's not Herrera.
It was just last year.
I know.
27 dingers, too.
I'd love. It's got to be JT.
JT Real Muto is incorrect.
Oh, Andrew McCutcheon.
Andrew McCutcheon.
I was going to say McCutcheon my first instinct, yeah. And then I switched to JT.
And I also like that question, John, because a little shout-out to Kutch. We love
yes.
that guy.
Yep.
He was a lot of
Milwaukee
fun.
Milwaukee Brewer.
He's with the Brewers, yep. But good times with Andrew McCutcheon. John, right. Is that it?
That's it. We're on the field watching a little BP. We've got Charlie Manuel
awesome.
Right behind the backstop. I can't wait for 1 o'clock for this game. It'll be a lot of fun and looking forward to a fun podcast throughout the year.
Right on. Sounds good, John. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Go Phils. Happy spring training, and we'll see you next time on Phillies Backstage. Backstage.